How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The following show may shock, disturb, and offend some viewers. The opinions, theories, and facts shared on this podcast are not widely accepted by the brainwashed masses, especially those who find dark humor offensive. Viewer discretion is advised.
This is a Hosehead production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood, the Unabomber blowing up, Waco, Texas and Heaven's Gates, aliens modified men from apes, JFK shot in the head by the CIA, Bigfoot and the Mothman, Son of Sam talking to dogs again, witches, ghosts and goblins, mysterious noise and hauntings, dark arts in the skull and bones, most celebrities are probably cloned, so if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. Welcome back to the show. I am one of your hosts, Tomcat, a.k.a. Tom Thompson, the Raptilian, and I am joined by a very special guest, someone who has never podcasted or, I'm assuming, never done anything like this before. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir, and then we can kind of get into why we're making this happen?
Hey, well, thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah. It's much appreciated. To start, kind of found you serendipitously through when I was going through my beginning of an awakening. Give me a little background about myself. My name is Troy. Online handle is Sailor Boy Troy. I did 13 some odd years in the military. Did a stint of time as the territorial fire prevention officer up in the territory of Nunavut. And I even did a stint in jail as a correctional officer. This is all in a period of the last 6 years since retirement. And now I'm just going on the journey of trying to get better and make some awareness for men's mental health and veterans' mental health and even the health of the public.
Yeah, it's quite wild. I actually didn't know you were a corrections officer. I've been in a jail cell. So
watch the comment section.
Yeah, no, it's not. I know exactly. It's not a fun place to be. When I was a youth, I got arrested a couple times doing stupid shit, stealing a bike, stuff like that. And yeah, it's not a fun place to be, especially when you're like, and that's why I have my own mental health stuff, is because I went through a lot of traumatic events at a fairly young age and had to deal with some crazy things that went on in my life. And I grew up too fast, right? I was having sex too early, doing drugs too early, getting involved in relationships that were supposed to be like adult relationships, like, you know, with the things of like getting into stuff when you're very too young, like too young to understand what you're doing, like especially when it comes to drugs, women, and then, you know, crime, right? When you're not even realizing that you're really committing a crime, you're just doing it for fun, right? And me and my friends always used to like take bikes, ride them around for a bit, and then just kind of like throw them off to the side or whatever. We never really thought about it. And then realistically now, my brain thinks a lot differently than it did even 5 years ago. So, you know, and it's interesting because you got in contact with me and we just started talking. It seems like it's probably been, I feel like, a month, maybe more.
Yeah, about a month. About a month after I got out of the Dimensions program.
Yeah, and so we'll get into all that stuff, but we were kind of going to take the direction of the show is we might be doing a lot of deep dives into some crazy rabbit holes that you've been going down, and you've been sending me tons of info on it and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting, but I kind of want to take it from base level of what got you into, you know, trying to heal yourself and help your mental health. And for everybody listening, we're going to be talking more about using psychedelics also for mental health use and stuff like that. Like I've done with mushrooms, and I was just on the Cult of Conspiracy podcast, and the one of the co-hosts, he just did DMT the night before we recorded. And he said the first time was the greatest experience he's ever had, like amazing. Yeah. And then he took double the dose and he almost never wants to do it again because it showed him some dark stuff.
Somebody had ego death.
Yeah.
Somebody definitely had their ego death. Yep.
So bring it in. Tell me what kind of all transpired.
Let's kind of go back to, you know, comparing everything. As you were saying before, you know, some people go to jail. Some people go to the military. Some people go to college and some people go to work, right?
Yeah.
Now, unresolved trauma, going back to that, right? We've all dealt with trauma and everybody does it their own different way. And going through, like, even going through as a correctional officer, looking at the inmates, like, with what happened to me in the past, being into that later on with trauma, but I could have easily have gone into that direction, right? Because you got to remember, like, the way I look at it, I feel like a lot of people in society today are just damaged, feral children that were raised by delinquency, because that's what we're seeing in society today, even from the stuff we see on television to what's coming out in Hollywood today, right? It's all intertwined together. And you know, mental health being what it is, I think we've discussed this before. It's more than just one day a year, right? But, you know, it's just another flag that society waves at people to go, you know, I'm getting my ESG score, wherever the case may be, just to say I did something, right? And, you know, they'll tell you to go and call people at, like, these helplines and do all these other things. And you're who's picking up the phone? Just a volunteer who gives as much of a shit.
Ted Bundy.
Exactly.
Ted Bundy was a call center, for suicide and stuff like that. He used to answer the phone calls for people who were suicidal. Everybody think about that. Ted Bundy.
But he cared, right? He cared because he thought he was probably like resolving a problem, right? Just making it up. But the thing is, like, you know when you pick that phone up, it's somebody who's been sitting on their damn phone just as much as everyone else in the world is, waiting for that phone call to ring and go, hello, and just make it sound good for the recording. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. And that's why, like, we need to have these conversations and get everybody on the same page, right? Because it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. It's at the end of the day, it's society is the problem. We can go through that. As things develop.
Speaking of serial killers, Charles Manson didn't make that that statement quite a bit. That he was just a reflection of the society that, and he's technically a cult leader, I'd say, but he gets thrown in that realm of serial killers. But that it's the society that breeds people like him, you know, that was abused by the system, and his mom was a child prostitute and all that stuff, right? So, and I think we are just the reflection of how sick our society is. And I say this all the time because you see how depraved and degenerate a lot of people are and you know, they're doing everything that they can to escape from their mind, whether that be being addicted to sex, drugs, video games, television, movies. We've all done it in some regard, even like people are addicted to coffee, whatever it may be. You know, a lot of us do these things to bury our feelings and to make ourselves feel better in that moment.
Yeah, well, it's a coping mechanism, right? And there are good and bad about it, right? And you know, a lot of things that I've been seeing with society today, like for instance, like I'm gonna smoke a joint while I'm in here. Here's my government issued weed, right? Like I get so much weed. I get more weed than a household could smoke a month for free. And it reminds me of like Brave New World, right? It's going to be your soma, right? Just keep you numb and dumb and just, you know, we've resolved the problem.
Yeah,
right?
I see that too. And God knows what they're spraying on it. I had a buddy that's been on the show before. He does his own show, Shane, and he worked in that. He worked in the essentially just working and dealing with weed in that industry. And he said that the stuff they spray on it, you have to leave the room for like 2 hours and stuff. And
I can imagine that. Like my spouse, she even works in, she used to work in like the labs, right? So like Jameson and all these different other laboratories. So like all the chemicals and shit, like she couldn't go into the room without like hazmat gear on, and this is stuff like you're consuming later on to be like
a vitamin. I know. And so, this year I was going to grow my own, but I didn't have the opportunity. But next year is the plan. And but then you don't know what the seeds are even good or whatever, right? So,
well, I don't even get high anymore. Like I can smoke like a big Canagar, and it would take me about a 3 gram Canagar to like have a buzz anymore. Like I just, it's either so watered down, or I'm permafried. And I only started smoking like 5 years ago since I got out of the
military. That's crazy.
I got out of 18.
I feel like it's getting worse for me because I don't smoke as often. Every time I do, I'm like blitzed out of my mind because all this weed is so much stronger than the shit that I smoked when I was a kid. We used to smoke that nipper weed. Sounds racist, but that's what we called it. And all the other shit, like some of the homegrown. And I remember my buddy first got weed off the internet, and it was like a game changer. We're just smoking it by this like abandoned well that doesn't exist. Like no one using it. And we're just like, and then it's like, I remember just being high as shit staring at this old lady at the park. And I was like, man, this stuff is too strong.
Well, that's kind of like how everything seems to be going now. Like look at, was it even pre-COVID, like when weed was decriminalized, right? And like there's pop-up stores everywhere. The cops would go in, probably like buy a bag and then arrest them, right? Like they, and then they'd pop up across the street the very next day, right? And that's what you're starting to see nowadays with even the mushroom shops and those mushroom places, right? It's the exact same thing, right? They pop up, they get shut down, nobody gets charged. The thing that's happening with weed is going to happen again, and which is fine. But the thing is, with when you're dealing with psychedelics, like Joe Rogan and Terrence McKenna, all these people making it like so common, and the access to it now is so easy. Like you can even order some from BC, where it is decriminalized, and have it legally flown to you, right? And that's up to and including dimethyltryptamine, which we can talk about. But the thing is, like, when you're looking at these dosages, people don't realize there is a pharmacology behind it, right? Like there is going to be an effect based on your height, your weight, fat content, all this other stuff, right? To get a proper dose. And some people go, well, I'm just going to go take a heroic dose and eat a whole freaking bag of mushrooms. And then they're off to La La Land because they don't know what to expect, right? Whereas that's where we're going to start seeing a lot more psychosis behind this, because it's becoming cool and people just don't know how to use it responsibly.
Oh,
and
that's
of the big thing.
That's I just it will be out the time this episode's out, but I had Elizabeth April on the show. She's a pretty interesting woman, believes that she's in contact with aliens. It's wild. But we were talking about the DMT stuff and how she's like, she's Canadian, but she's living in the States, I think, right now. And then they're getting a property in Ottawa or whatever. And she's talking about how she in Toronto now, there's like shops and stuff where you can go get like a DMT pen. And she's like, that's not responsible because these people don't know what they're getting into. And this is not like a party drug, even mushrooms. It's not a party drug. It's not something you mix alcohol with. Cause I've been on a high dose of mushrooms and then I thought I'm burning out. And then I drink a little bit, like I'll have like a little whiskey or whatever, even a beer. And it like, my heart starts to pulse and it's like, it does not feel good. You shouldn't be mixing even weed. There's been times where I've been on mushrooms, smoke a little weed and it like blasts me off and I'm paranoid thinking that everybody's watching me from every different corner of the room or something, you know?
Well, the big thing people don't talk about with it is I firmly believe that is based, most religion is based on it. Now, maybe not so much the stories, but at least the ceremonies, right? Because I don't know if you can pull anything up on here, but I did send you the basilica. There was the picture of the basilica. If you look at the basilica at the ceiling, it looks exactly like a kaleidoscope. Or if you look at the Stern Hadron Collider, like a high kaleidoscope. Very much the exact same of a fractal effect that you will see when you go into your initial doses with DMT or even mushrooms, right? The thing is, once you look at that, you go, well, is this what they were doing to people to make that thing spin? Because you remember, when you're if you're messed up and you're looking at that, that's going to start spinning like a kaleidoscope as well, right? Then you're going to be into a trance and then you're going to see the angels. And then, you know, back in the days of human sacrifice, that's probably how they got you to, you know, die, right?
That's like, what's crazy, man, is like when the, especially in the Aztecs, how they would like, we were just talking about this, like the guys like tripping balls, looking up at a guy with a knife over him, and then like they would sacrifice you and you would be on mushrooms while you're being sacrificed.
And that's kind of very much how the experience I had with when I even went to the retreat. Get a shaman involved, you see the fractals start having movement, and that's when I had my eureka moment, when I was up at this this retreat that I gone to. When I came out of it, I realized the shaman, as he was singing, because I could still hear him, but I had my I kind of dropped through the floor, and as he was singing, like he was making the patterns dance, and I was like, what the hell is, I've never seen this before on DMT, like ever in my life. And he had it bouncing, and then unraveled. And I had like this vision. I went, what is going on here? When I came out of it, you know, everyone was smudging over top of me. I'm looking at everybody, go, tell me that was real. On your license, tell me that was real. And I was like, yeah, that was real. And I'm just freaking out. And then I look down and I'm looking at the native blankets and all the beadwork for the Serrano stuff he was wearing as well. And I'm like, those are the patterns. Like, those are the fractals. That's exactly what native beadwork is. Like, everything is based off the fractals.
Well, that's what I said when I've been on mushrooms. I
started going down this rabbit hole, right?
That's why I've noticed that, like, I've done, like, especially that there's a definitely like the strain Blue Meaties. I saw this where it almost looked like I said tribal patterns, but it's like translucent objects that are like moving and stuff. It's like wild. And so it maybe just you, obviously you don't have to go in, only go into the detail that you want to get into, but maybe explain why you, what kind of presented the opportunity with you being able to do DMT essentially legally and for mental health and stuff like that? Cause you, that's essentially what happened, right? Is you were able to do it legally, for PTSD and stuff like that. And
not DMT, like DMT is not legal. Like it is still a substance, right? But yeah, because everything is decriminalized, it is easily obtainable. Like I said, you can go to your corner store, like your friend had said, right? Mm-hmm. So, I've been dealing with quite some bad bout of PTSD. I won't get into too much of it, long story short, my last resort after I had, I was actually looking into MAID at that point. Like
that's PTSD, crazy, man.
Cause I've been asking for about 20 years through the system, like through military doctors and everyone else for help. And it was just thrown on deaf ears, right? Like nothing is actionable until something happens, right? And that just seems to be the status quo of even the government, right? So if I were to kill myself, then they would look into it. Yeah. But if I was asking for help, you know, you got a couple of screws loose, this gets you out of here, right? That's just how.
Yeah. So if people don't know what MAID is in Canada, the government will legally offer you to be suicided. That's what they do now. And they've killed 50,000 people since 2016, which is crazy.
And if you do some research into that too, I don't believe you die. Like somebody looked into it and I can't remember her name, but a girl looked into it and said that you may be out with that paralytic goes into you, but like you're actually drowning for up to and including 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I heard that too. Yeah. Jordan Peterson did a talk with her or whatever. Not really a big fan of him considering he kisses the boot of Israel, but everyone is, you know, everyone's kind of a shill in their own right. And everyone's just trying to make their own money, you know, and there's a lot of people like that within. And I don't even think some of these people even believe the bullshit that they're saying. Because he claims to be Christian, but then he said he doesn't believe in the virgin birth and all that stuff. And I'm not religious at all. I've said that to you, but I do lean towards, you know, the idea of Christianity of saying that to be like a person like Jesus would be pretty righteous. You know what I mean? And not like, righteous, but like it's being a good hearted person that cares about your fellow human. You know, that's how we should all be. But there's definitely things that have been done wrong within religion. And there's definitely certain other religions too. And people could say, including Christianity, that have, you know, that they think that their magic book is the right magic book. And then they kill people because of it and stuff like that, especially more radicalized religion, which you can see in the Middle East, that's for sure.
Well, and that's the thing about even the religion side, right? That they try to make all hot and sexy about it, right? Like, that's the danger with the New Age movement. And that's where I pump the brakes on all of this, right? Yeah. Because when you take the New Age movement, you bring psychedelics into it. Of course you want to be like Christ. Like I would firmly believe that Christ, because there are pieces in the Bible where Christ has like been missing. Like who's to say he didn't go to India? Who's to say he didn't learn all of these different types of things like Reiki and all these.
That's what they claim that he was missing for like 13 years, I think it was.
Yeah, I forget the exact number. He was like 12 or 13 when he left, and he showed up back when he was 30. So, you know, 17 some odd years. But yeah, even still, like, that's enough time for him to go to all these places, learn how to be a master, and come back and teach it. Now, where I have a problem with the New Age movement is when they start saying you are God, having an experience through a vessel. We are all God. There's the trap, right? Like, that's where it starts to get a little bit, this could be very culty, right? Because they're telling you that you are a God now, which makes you equal to the creator and so on and so forth, right? So it gets, that's where it gets very dangerous with the New Age stuff, especially when some places are mixing it into treatment.
Yeah. And I do think that I've always thought, this is just my perspective of what I've experienced in research, is I've always thought whatever God is, we are connected to, which makes us part of what God is, which makes us all a God of this reality, so to speak. And the God that I believe in is whatever that energy is a benevolent God that even if you question him or you go against him, you will still be let into his graces, so to speak, because there is a lot of people and people I've talked to on the show and stuff like that, friends that are, you know, very religious and think because I have questions, I'm not going to quote unquote heaven, but I don't believe that's not the God I believe in. And I do not think the Bible is the be all end all of knowledge. I think that you have to look for the truth within all these ancient books and all these religious books and wherever it might be, and then try to decipher what the truth actually is. And I don't think any of us are going to know the truth until we're dead.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Like your buddy, I think his name is Brian Knoll. Was that his name that you had on?
Brandon Kroll. Is that
Brandon Kroll? Yeah. Thank you. A lot of stuff he was saying, like, is it very, very lines up with a lot of the things that, like, I've, you know, found myself and a lot of people that I've had conversation with. Like, he's close, but he's like not over the target, because it's a very dangerous conversation when you get into all of that stuff. But it's nice that you are having these conversations, because even in scripture, like, it tells you, like, it's for those to hear and for those to see, right? So as long as you're doing the quest for knowledge, so to speak, like, you're not in the bad graces. Like, it is expected that you go and learn the scriptures and learn as much as you can, right? Because even that goes into like the old Shang Tsun theory, right? Like, how are you going to know your enemy without knowing his tactics, right? Art of war stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. So you're not wrong in doing it. And we should all be doing it. Like, even the little bit of conspiracy checking, a lot of people are going, they're doing a hell of a lot more than people who are going to church up the street. They go to church, they'll hear somebody talk about a pastor that they picked out for the week, and they're not going home to reflect on it. 12 minutes later outside of church, they're probably, you know, gossiping at Denny's about Susie and what she's wearing, right?
Yeah, so, like, it's very true.
They're doing more work than they are.
It's funny, because that's what Anton LaVey, the guy that created the Church of Satan, said. He was talking about how, you know, the guy that some of the religious people, I can't remember his exact quote, but saying that guy that goes to church every Sunday is banging somebody behind his wife's back and doesn't really believe in the things that they're preaching. And there's a lot of that, right? The whole thing is like with Christianity tied into Israel. And I'm sorry, I bring this up on the show a lot, but people, they don't like you, man. The Jewish people do not like Christians, and that's a fact. You can look this up. It's in all their doctrine. It's in all their literature. They literally say this. There's multiple rabbis. Like, I'm saying, like I've seen at least 50 different rabbis say this stuff and call us goyim and all sorts of horrible things. So, like, stop kissing their boot. They don't like you, and they actually are laughing as they're destroying you. You know, but like, I'll always be the one that questions things. I don't like the King James version of the Bible, and stuff like that. I just think that things have been toyed with and played with. I do think if you go back to the Dead Sea Scrolls and some of the Sumerian texts, you start to find at least where some of this stuff is based off of and what the truth might be. I lean towards more of the idea of the Anunnaki, and that we are probably a creation of something like that, because it just seems the most obvious thing that we have different alien DNAs in us, and that's why there's white people and indigenous people and Asian and all that stuff and black, and you know, like, it is weird, man, especially the Asian stuff. They're like, oh, our sun rose to the east, so our eyes are slanted. It doesn't make sense.
I cannot wait, and I hope that I convince my friend to come on the show with you, and we can all get together with your friend as well and have this conversation again, because that would be, we're completely off topic here. Like, we're going down into the rabbit hole.
But, we are, that's for sure.
But let's get back.
We'll bring it back. So obviously, and then, so you went to this retreat, right?
Yeah. So I went to this retreat, I was offered, well, I requested made, I shouldn't say I was offered made, because I'd had enough, right? 20 years, here's a bunch of pills. Here's, you know, I talked to 22 different doctors about my problems within the military, like, for that whole time. Right. So nothing was done. It was just status quo this, status quo that. And it took a very big, court case to, snap them out of it and wake them up and go, oh shit, like, this guy actually had a problem. Right. Long story short, I put a pedophile in jail who had been, they had been abusing boys, including myself 20 some odd years ago.
Good for you for outing him, because a lot of people hold their tongue on that stuff, and then, you know, there could be justice served. And
Well, that's just the thing, right? Holding your tongue. Like, you got to look where we grew up, like the age we grew up. Guys, it can never happen to guys. You know, if a teacher ever did it to you, it'd be encouraged, right? Like, there's just, you know, it doesn't happen to guys. And like I said earlier, like when you're suppressing that much abuse or any other types of childhood trauma you've had, when you just can't wait to get the fuck out of the house. As soon as I was 17, the military picked me up and I was like, I'm the fuck out of here. Right? Yeah. Just no one's listening to me. I got to go. Right. So again, it goes back to,
it eats at your brain, man.
Well, you're, like I said, we're just damaged feral children being raised by delinquency. Right. Because where did I go? I went right off to the military with a bunch of other delinquents who were broken, living in a dorm style environment where it was encouraged to be a dude.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, it's just a cycle of bullshit until you actually get it fixed. Right. And it only took 20 years and 9 people to come forward for this guy to actually come forward. And the funny thing was, everybody in the town knew, right? They'd say, "Oh, there's something off."
Yeah.
Yep. And even his subordinates within the institution that he was working at, like everybody had an inkling or everybody knew, but they'd rather gossip than take. Yeah,
it's like Jimmy Savile, man. Everybody knew everyone, but then nothing happened until years and years later.
Yeah. And that's why I see like what's happening today in society with Bieber. That kid ain't fucking lying. Like I was like, yeah. Yep, 100%. Right. I put myself because when he was getting it from Diddy, I was the same age he was when I started getting it.
See, and that's what's crazy too is me and Aaron talked about this like months ago, and we're like, yeah, this is like how far it's gonna go. He's gonna maybe get let out or whatever. And then it's just like the tunnel kept digging. Like, and I was like, more information kept releasing. And I said that he's the tip of the iceberg on that episode. I remember, I'm like, this stuff is just the tip of the iceberg, man. They literally had an island where they fuck children, like that, a whole island for that shit. So imagine what else is going on.
Well, and that's the funny thing that, and I hope we talk again in regards to this rabbit hole, right?
Oh, yeah, because, we will.
You know, I've been using since I got out, like, I used to be a fire investigator as well, right? So I was just, you can't help but dig, right? Once you have a hunch, you dig.
My grandfather was the fire chief, one of the fire chiefs in Toronto for many years. So I totally understand where that kind of background. I never got into this. I was too much of a dirtbag. I was a bad teenager. And it's funny. My grandfather's dead now. Like, grew up in the Depression. And now I look back and all those times I gave him a hard time. Like, and I now want to be a man like he was. But at that time, I couldn't see that. I was just a rebellious teen. Like, and I'm a Canadian nationalist. And I remember I was saying this when I was in like grade school. I didn't like staying for the national anthem because I didn't like being told what to do. And that was literally it. It wasn't because I like didn't like my country or whatever. And it's so funny. If I looked at myself then as a 12-year-old boy, if I could talk to him and be like, what the fuck are you thinking, man? You're a rebel without a cause. And my grandma always used to say that. And I was until I found my true hatred for the government, and then I became a real rebel.
You know what? I'm close to there myself, my friend. Like I've seen too much, and that's kind of the salt in the wound of all of the stuff, right?
100%.
Because you can't work in government as long as I did and not see the cracks and go, wow. Like it's,
I know,
just,
that's what, you know, Jeremy McKenzie always talked about, man.
I'm sure he'll tell you about the waste, just the waste alone, right? Where they just throw shit out for lunches, like more than people could eat in a day. And then they would just go in the garbage like the same day, right? Like, just there's so much waste and abundance. Like, it's just, you wonder where your tax dollars go. And that's where we'll go into with dimension. So long. Back to that. When I was going through my PTSD, I reached out and somebody told me about this program called Dimensions. So they didn't really tell me too much about it. It was kind of hush hush, but like, it's a retreat that you go to get peace of mind for PTSD. And in all these years, I had never been offered anything, like not even box breathing, like retreat for coping. So yeah. I said, well, you know what? I'll give it a shot. So I had to go through all these series of tests and all this stuff. And they were sending me these things like I had to fill out, and they're like, oh, you're a good candidate to go, whatever that meant. So, at $25,000 of your tax dollars, Veterans Affairs paid for this program and sent me on. So while I was waiting for this program, I had decided I was going to go up there and this was going to be it. So I've been a recluse ever since I got back from the Arctic, right? Like, once depression sets in, like, it's bad. Like, I'm sure anyone who's really been depressed understands that. And anyone who out there who doesn't, The people out there who cry over guys like Robin Williams and then make fun of people who are talking about it, you're just the most vile of people.
Yeah, he was murdered by the Illuminati.
Yeah, well, the Illuminati as well.
I just want to say, I think it is crazy that you worked out none of it. Because I want none of it. I don't want any. It's too cold. It's probably like even some of that I could just ask you about, because I'm like, I've never been to a place that cold all the time. Right? It gets pretty cold in Ontario, but like
it's not that cold all the time. Like I think the high was like 17 where I was up there. Like that was the high for the hot days in the summer. But like I was there for blizzard season, like as it was creeping in. And you want to talk about a place that needs help, like actually needs help. Like that's what broke me, was being up there. Just finally, I was like, I don't want to be part of the problem.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But we can get into all that later, because like I had quite the awakening even at the Dimensions retreat. I went up there, and it was for 10 days away up in the Algonquin Islands. It's like 8 hours from where I live. And I had to convince myself to go. And the only way I was going to go is if I could bring my dog, which thankfully I could. So I brought her up, and we were there for 10 days, and we did all these different exercises throughout the week. Like one was like biosound, where you just kind of lie in a bed and they like vibrate it and like play different sounds in your ears to trigger shit or whatever. Mm. And then you'd have your therapy sessions, and then you would do like, I think you got two sound baths. So the bio tank, where you're sitting in the water, the float.
Yeah, I've done that. Well, I could never get into it. I had a buddy that owned a float studio for a bit, and I did it three times. The first time I did a high, and then I got salt in my eye. He did it when he was on mushrooms, and I was like, man, I wish I did that. Like just sitting in that silence and stuff. But it's I've heard from people that it's a pretty crazy experience if you're able to get into it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I feel like all these different things they used on us were to like some people. Everyone's a different learner. Everyone's probably going to be different treatment, right? So it's
it is interesting that they would try this stuff on veterans. It's typical.
Well, it is open to the public, but like it's obviously like there's programs specific to us. Mm-hmm. And it was, so we would do all these different types of things, everything down to like even massage and acupuncture, right? So like even for the doctors to sell it to our case managers that we have to utilize to do anything when we're dealing with veterans affairs, like they're reading this, like, oh, we're going to send you to a resort for $25,000, like, you know, eat a dick. And then you're like, that's not what it is. So then you have to, like, if they're not familiar with the program, which they are sponsoring, which is the weird part, you have to fight for something they've sponsored. I always found that a little bit odd, but regardless of that, we go up there, finally get it approved, and like it's well done. Like I can't say enough about the presentation and how everything is. Like you get there, you're not even allowed to move your bags. Like it's almost uncomfortable where they'll like take your bag away from you. You can't. They'll carry it to your room. Like these tiny little women, right? Like imagine being this military guy. Like you're carrying no, and they're like, relax. You're here to relax. So it was that was a hard adjustment.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a good point. Actually, normal people wouldn't think about that stuff.
So it's a different mindset. That's one of the things, and we're all on edge, right? Because like there's other veterans there, right? So you're all like, what are you here for? What are you here for? What are you going to like? Because we all know, because there is no brotherhood really. Like everyone's a blade as a military. Somebody's a blade. Oh, what do you know about wing? What are you here for? Or is my PTSD worse than yours, or XYZ, right?
Yeah.
Not understanding at the end of it, like, at the very end of the day, all trauma, regardless if it's combat related or abuse related or a combination of everything, the needle hole you got to go through to get out of the military is the exact same, right? So trauma, right? You got to go through the same exacerbating circumstances to fix your problems. And that's one of the things we had kind of resolved when we were up there amongst the other veterans. But then you would go into what they call ceremony, where you go into this like geometric dome, and which is funny because like I did a mushroom trip in April when I was like ready to die. And I had drawn the dome then, not even knowing I was going to Dimensions. Never have I seen it. I think I did send you the photos.
Yeah. I just had them pull up. Keep talking. Cause I didn't have them.
Yeah. But yeah, like that was the strangest thing, right? Because I had a 6.1 mushroom gram, had my ego death. And then the next day I drew this thing, and then suddenly I'm at, and that was the first night the Northern Lights had came up. So I was really tripping balls.
Yeah, that'd be and then weird.
It was I looked
kind of an epic experience though, man.
I looked at my girlfriend. I'm like, the rapture's happening, and we missed it. Like that's how bad it went. And I just went right down in the rabbit hole of ego death after that, and it was brutal. And then 3 months later, I'm at the same place. And if you look at some of the pictures I've sent you about Dimensions where the dome is there, like compare them. Yeah. It's the exact same triangles and everything. And that's what ceremony was. So what would happen is, like, you go up there and they call it the plant medicine, which is just dope. And they got there's this like little weed shack, like probably like 20 minutes up the road. They probably like have a deal with them. Maybe, I don't know. But you go there and you buy your own weed because they can't prescribe it because they're not doctors. They're hypnotherapy or whatever they are. Right. But you bring your own weed, and then, which is kind of good because it proves it's not laced too. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they would show you how to utilize it. Right. You would take your different blends, mix it together. And then this is the weed that you need to vaporize to get into trance or ceremony. So, you know, I'm vaporizing this thing, and I'm like, this isn't going to do anything. And then I take my THC pen. It's my actual THC pen. This one right here.
Yeah.
And I just took a big ripper on that. I was like, I know this will work. And I hit that thing. And as soon as I had finished my coughing fit, I fell through the floor.
How big of a haul did you take? Because I've heard it's all about how much.
I took a big rip. I took a really big rip. I was like, I'm not even high. I'm like, weed doesn't get me high. So this is like going to be a waste of the government time. Right. Like, I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, right? But I'm like, I have to get high. So I did, and then bam, right through the floor. And then the drumming started, and then I went on this little quest, right? And then I kind of, that's when I started piecing together that patterns were the native patterns, and everything that I was seeing was like Mayan stuff and checkerboards and like all of these weird things. And then I saw like these eyeballs and triangles floating around with feathers, and I'm sitting there going, I'm like, Is that the cherubim? Like, and it was weird because back in April when I was around my mom, mm-hmm. she handed me like a thing on Ezekiel's wheel. She goes, "Remember you were telling me about angels? I didn't believe you. Look." And she sent me the part of Ezekiel's wheel, and the book of Ezekiel. And I had seen what Ezekiel had almost described, except it wasn't a bunch of wheels within wheels. It was just like an eyeball with a triangle with a couple wings floating around it. And that's in the drawing that I had drawn like 3 months prior, and I came out of it, and that's when I, you know, realized, and I just got God back in my life, right? I put a crucifix back on before I went, like my girlfriend gave it to me, and then I go up there, and then everything just fucking went, whew, like the 13 years where Christ went, all of these techniques that they've been using, it all just kind of converged. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about this. And I was clutching my crucifix as I came running at it. Like when I was in my trance, I come out, everyone's over top of me smudging going, "Are you okay?" And I'm ugly crying. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about this. And I looked at everybody and I said, "Tell me right now what I just happened. And those things I saw are real." And they all confirmed it. And I was like, I need to break. And I fucked off. And this was like the retreat. And that was like session two.
Yeah. Like I've seen those eyes on mushrooms, and it's fucking freaky.
Yeah, man. And then it got even more in depth, like on the third one, like I just more stuff just started piecing together because they.
So how often were you doing this? Like it was
like every 4 days. So like you would have 4 days of preparation or every 3 days, however the schedule worked. And
that makes sense. You have like, your body builds up a tolerance to psychedelics.
Plus they would like feed you like a specific diet where it would be like, you know, dandelion tea with like vegan something, kind of like a fasting food to bring you up there. Mm-hmm. And then, so you would go in like on the third session, like, and they're handing out tarot cards, like oracle cards is what they call them. And they're like, pick one. And then this is going to go with your intention. And you're like, for real? Like, this is what the government spent $2,500 a day on, like, okay, whatever, we're playing tarot. Mm-hmm. And we go do this, and then like that was it was such a strange experience. Like, and I don't know what to take from it because I went in with the intention of what I just want the truth.
Yeah.
And I want to know where I belong.
Well, that's like it. You have to have at least you had an idea of kind of like what your intention was. Because when I started using mushrooms, I didn't really know what I wanted it to help my head in some way. And I felt good and happy, especially when they started kicking it in, because it can suck at the beginning. But I wanted, eventually I wanted to want something out of it and tried using things. Like, I wish I did other techniques, and eventually hopefully will. But I would listen to Alan Watts and then try to like think about some, and then I ended up having weird experiences. Like hearing my aunt say my name and she's been dead, thinking about my dead aunt and uncle and then my grandparents and shit, and they all died. Like, it's crazy.
Well, and that's what they were trying to do. Well, and that's exactly what they're trying to do, right? Because you can get a trance going, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's like with the breathing techniques, if you did the breathing techniques that I sent you, like that's what they had us do. You can get to fractals just with that, right? Like we were supposed to do a sweat, and that, like, these are other ways to bring you into whatever this dimension is, because they're obviously tracking it. Like something's going on with it, because even with what we did, like with the bio sound and everything else, like it's Project Gateway. It's 100% Project Gateway. If you ever look into that type of stuff, it's with the HemiSync program. And, you know, they're telling you, like, they confirm, like, we're talking to entities. Like, how do I go back You know what I mean? How do I go back to my Veterans Affairs advisor and go, how was it? Oh, they told me that entities are real, or whatever I've seen. And I have intuitions now that are coming nonstop. And then you just, and it's verbatim. It's the same program.
Well, look at what they've done with, like, okay, MK Ultra and stuff that was in, actually in Quebec at an institution too. So, like, it's pretty weird. And considering what they did with acid to the soldiers with, I actually want to cover this at some point. I think Edgewoods, where they were, like, essentially giving them drugs and stuff like that and acid. They even did this to a whole little city in New York. I'm pretty sure they put acid in the water and stuff. So they've always done this where they've used military guys essentially to experiment on.
Well, you know, like, I don't want to go down a conspiracy rabbit hole. Like, I'm just having fun here, but, like, wouldn't it be something else if they just go, you know what, we can get free research out of this company. Let's let them make bank off of it, and we'll just give us the research at the end once they hit 1,000 people to get the results, right? Like there are companies right now in the United States that are trying to slow drip DMT to people to map the DMT realm. Like, whatever it is on the other side is real. Like,
it's weird.
Even when I've done DMT, like DMT lasts 10 minutes, right? Like, it's 10 to 20 minutes. Depending on the doses you take, up to 50 milligrams, right? But, like, it's better, it's much better to chew the DMT. If, like, I'm not promoting that you do it, but it's better to do DMT than it is to do mushrooms, because mushrooms is like 8 hours and you don't know what the hell you're gonna get.
Whereas it's like
DMT,
5 hours.
It's like gonna go, here's an introduction, like, you get what you get, but it doesn't last long. It might feel like it lasts forever, but it's like 10 minutes and it's done.
That's what's, I've heard videos. I always bring this up because I just remember, like, I went through this rabbit hole of listening to, like, comedians and when, I wouldn't say famous people, but people that are, like, online comedians, or some rapper or whatever had a horrible name, and they were telling their stories about their, like, DMT trips. And this, I think the guy's, like, his name Young Gravy, something, like, ridiculous. And he's saying how he did DMT and he, like, essentially traveled to, like, another universe and was living in a different reality, where he was working at like a restaurant with a girlfriend that was his like an alien girlfriend, and he said he lived there for 3 years and then came back. I was like, and there's some crazier ones, man, where people were doing this stuff when they're, like, out and about, like in
and that's where it gets dangerous, and that's why, like, I don't promote it, because if people are irresponsibly using it, going to, like, a grunge show, like, good fucking luck. Like, that's not gonna be good for you, right? Like, even if you have a bad trip, like, if there's a reason behind
I wouldn't want to go see a metal show high on mushrooms. I feel like you look around, be like, everybody's angry.
Everybody's gonna kill me, or the rabbits are gonna eat me. Like, it's and especially if you go into an ego death, like, if you take enough, you have an ego death, like, you're useless. You're completely, that is the most terrifying thing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, do you think that, like, because I was trying to achieve that at one point, and then someone, one of the co-hosts that is no longer on the show, said, like, are you sure you want that? Like, you don't need that. It's not a good thing and stuff like that. Because if you, it can change you for, like, ever.
It all depends on what you're looking for, right? Like, yeah, you're right. Like, some of it could profoundly destroy you. Like it feels like you're in a void of dread. Like, if anything, you're stuck in a void of dread, and you don't know why, because you don't, your ego's not there to defend you. Like, you're exposed. Like, you're as naked could be. It would be, like, the best way to describe it. It's like, here's your shit. Deal with it. Like, if you don't have shit to deal with, then what is your intention that you're going in with, right? And that's where I can understand where Dimensions was doing the right thing with the spiritual side. Like, if you're using it properly, then so on and so forth. But this was just with plant medicine, not mushrooms or DMT or anything. This is just plant medicine.
Man, so they were putting giving soldiers thing of meth. There's, like, videos of at Edgewoods,
and they're 100%.
Like, and there's, like, dudes are, like, they're getting to, like, do, like, tracks and stuff like that. I don't know, do whatever, how many laps or, like, 100-meter dash or something like that. And their guys are, like, hopped up like crazy, like, they're, like, revved up, probably on all sorts of amphetamines or whatever they were giving them, and it's, like, crazy. And they're experimenting.
I had a buddy just come out of Edgewood for treatment, actually. Like,
that's still around?
Yeah. There's a bunch of different treatment facilities.
That's crazy.
Parkwood being connected to the Dimensions program, right? So, like,
I think high was a bad idea on this episode because it's so fucked, man. Because think about that type of shit of what they can do to manipulate your thoughts when you're on certain drugs. And just some of the things I felt on even mushrooms where it's like sometimes it's really good, but there's been times where I felt like extremely anxious and paranoid, like crazy, where it's like almost going to give me a heart attack, it feels like.
Well, you know, like I'll just read this out to you. Like this is exactly what's happening to me currently since I've left Dimensions. Like, you've seen the amount of research I've done in a 2-month time frame. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
It looks like somebody's done like 2 years worth of master's work. And like,
what's that movie? Beautiful Mind. You got all these things like around the room.
Yeah. I had a doctor actually tell me that when I was, from this whole process, I ended up getting myself formed, right? Because I was like, something's not right. I'm receiving far too much stuff. And I had myself formed and I went in for 3 days and the doctor's like, have you seen A Beautiful Mind? That's how things are working. That was the treatment help that I got
after
I got released, right? So like now I have no trust because they denied me because I'm supposed to do these integration sessions for like 45 weeks after the fact.
They
denied me to go see it. And I went in there to tell them about this program. And they're like, you're lying. You sound schizophrenic, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all you need to do is literally give me my cell phone and let me have my Facebook call with them and sit in and listen.
To
deny me that.
Because doctors don't want to.
Well, that's the thing. They called my social worker and they called my spouse and asked me. And they both said, yes, he has these appointments. And they denied me of it because they thought I was lying. So like they
considering doctors are liars a lot of the times, they're all getting paid and stuff too. And that's what people don't understand, especially in a place like Canada. All these doctors are being paid to push this stuff.
This is what you get for your free healthcare. You're a guinea pig. Nothing's free, right? If something's free, you're the product. That's what they always tell you, right?
Yeah, that's
true. And certainly the truth. And that's probably the same thing that's going on.
Well, in our taxes, we pay a certain number of taxes for it to be clogged up by new people and all sorts of shit and nurses that they fired and all that, right? So it is what it is. Like, I'm not a fan of the direction that this country is going, you know? And it is crazy that the doctors, they don't care. They never cared.
And that's the thing, right? Unless it's a political tool, nobody's doing anything about it. And even right here, like this is actually a very concerning thing. That's with the Project Gateway thing, the Project Gateway thing that lines up with
isn't that where they were trying to like use clairvoyant?
Yeah, the men that Sarah goats. It's actually.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I thought. We actually haven't covered that. We probably will at some point because that shit's crazy. And they were just we did an episode about how they were trying to train soldiers how to use Jedi mind tricks, legit.
If you go on the CIA website, it's all there. Like, this was just released like as COVID was coming out.
Oh, I see that CIA reading room analysis and assessment of. Wow, that's nice. Wow, this thing's long.
It talks right in here, like right here. This is the most concerning. The energy balloon, and this is just something they talk about, which is kind of like the frequency thing within your brain. This is a big document, but long story short, it says right here, it not only enhances the body energy to flow and encourages an early achievement of suitable resonant state, but it also is designed to provide protection against conscious entities possessing lower energy levels, which the participant may encounter in the event they achieve an out-of-body state.
Yeah, this is it.
That's on page at the bottom of page 19.
This is wild. Look how long. Realistically, they were really looking into this stuff, if they have this many pages.
And if you look right into the Dimensions thing, it says that very much the same. You want to reactivate. Things are going to keep flowing as time comes on with your intentions and X, Y, Z. It's the same protocol. It's the exact same protocol.
It's weird.
And I even asked the guy there. I was like, why do you have Project Gateway stuff? He goes, what are you talking about? I was like, you can't tell me this isn't Project Gateway. And his response is, well, I've heard of it. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're in like the medicine of the mind. You know what this is, but you've heard of it. Come on, you're running the same program. Just tell me the truth.
That's crazy.
So like,
it is wild, but what they, you know, and I don't know if this is, I feel like someone else told me this too. It might have been you, but I feel like someone else also mentioned how they were, essentially using people.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
To like get into these realms and figure out like what the DMT realms are. And that's the craziest shit that obviously that they did that with acid and like different drugs to see how people would react. But now they know that there's like an alternate dimension and DMT is at least the quickest, fastest way to get to wherever that is.
Well, and that's just the thing. Like, we're treating people for PTSD with this stuff now, and it's working, right? Because I don't give a shit what happened to me in the past now, because now I have a whole nother can of worms, right? Because now I'm awake.
Yeah.
If so to speak. Right. And It's just one of those things, like, why, what is this treatment for? Like, why is it being utilized this way? What are we mapping? Like, and then it just so on and so forth, the rabbit hole goes, right? And this is, I'm just a dumb fireman who, you know, got out of the military on unfortunate circumstances. And here we are going down this craziness. Yeah, that's the drawing that I drew when the fractals opened up at the Dimensions program.
And now I was bringing it up. So there's the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, there's the night the Aurora showed up over my house and it was stripping balls.
That'd be crazy to see it that late.
Well, they were better than I'd ever seen them in the north. There it is. There's the dome with all the triangles and stuff. We'd sit in there and do our ceremonies and then we would talk about it. And
did some guy in like a cloth diaper hit that gong?
Yeah, be a big old gong show.
Man, I've always wanted a gong. That thing would be wild just to have in your room. Be like, I have entered, and just like smack it. That'd be sick. I'm going to get one now.
I won't confirm or deny if anybody did that or not that while we were there, but.
So funny, man. If you've listened to the show, you know I have a weird, dark sense of humor about things.
Oh, don't we all, man?
Trippy. So okay, they have like things. So for everybody Jesus listening. Christ, where he's just like, because this is where the ceremonies were taking place and stuff, right? More or less.
That's in the dome.
It's weird. I guess it would make sense because you want to be. I've seen this with ayahuasca.
That spot in the dome throws the most sound, right? So, the closer you are to the sound with your head towards it, like the most you're going to absorb from whatever's happening within there, right? that's my everyday.
That's funny.
My everyday life.
Because I saw more of it. Let's see if I can. It's not showing up in the way I want it to.
That's cool. What I drew like the first night on fractals. That was my first night. We'd sit there and we'd draw what we saw, and I was like, okay, I saw that with fractal. Like, that's all I got to. And then night two, it went into like ugly crying about God. And then night three, it was like, bam. And then there was a video they showed us that was like this great reveal, and I broke down. Oh, it's just some of the weird events this year, right?
Yeah, that's weird. I watched this with my own eyes. Like, I didn't put anything on.
That was over you, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. I saw it all take form, and I was like, I don't know how it made me feel kind of way, but I don't know why.
I think we got like 90% of the corona down where we're at, but like that's the funny temperature drop alone. I've always wanted a
helmet, but like a medieval helmet.
I'll send you one.
That's so funny. Love that shit. I was actually looking at them. That's awesome.
So there's my field rabbits. They live around my house. That's kind of what started this trip. Like, my rabbits were killed, and the day I started doing mushrooms, like, was the day my rabbits died from the neighborhood cat.
That's crazy.
And,
man.
So like the mushroom order showed up, and then it was like white rabbit mushrooms, and that's the night I cursed the universe. I was like, well, I guess I'll see what the universe wants. And
that's interesting, because I feel like life shows you things when it needs to, you know what I mean?
Well, I no longer believe in coincidences. Like, that's the thing with sense dimensions. Like, the coincidences no longer matter, and everything does happen for a reason. Like, that's that intuitional stuff that they talk about in the end.
I've always thought that.
I don't know if it's good or bad, right? Like, but something was tapped into once we all went up there, right? Like, whether it be the pineal gland through weed or otherwise. But like, I had a more profound experience up there with marijuana than I had on DMT.
That's so crazy.
It was wild.
Man, it's something I'm not a fan of anymore. Like, a little bit I'm fine with, but like, I've done some pretty strong edibles and it's not fun.
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Like, this is at least if they're supplying you the weed, they should be at least telling you how to use it, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of us veterans are kind of left on our own once like that 2-year mark is up. We're kind of left holding the bag or helping each other out. Because that's how I found out about dimensions. Another veteran. There it is. There's that drum.
Weird.
You got in April, May.
So you're standing up at it and just like looking.
Yep. I have no idea why I drew it, what it came to. Like when I was on those mushrooms, I channeled apparently. And I guess my head cocked back after my ego death. And I started saying, God is real. God is real. God is real. And I fucking started drawing. And then that was the thing that came out of it. Like that and a few other drawings.
Weird. So, I've written a song on mushrooms. I don't know if that's a good idea. But I've never drawn anything, but I've had like a friend, I'll never forget this, one of my friend's brothers was having mushrooms, and he drew a vagina, but then if you turn on its side, it was an eye looking into itself and stuff. It was like fucked, and he like drew, it was pretty good, and he was like just high as shit on mushrooms, drawing the weirdest shit, and we're like, man, because we weren't on it, we're like, that looks like a weird time, man.
well, you know, sometimes like when you're drawing, like some of the times I was drawing in the dark. I was not in control of my hands. Like my buddy was there. He even saw it. He goes, this is trippy.
That's interesting. Cause I've drawn for a lot of my life too. Like, some mm-hmm. of my tattoos I've tried to draw up and stuff like that. You know, and I've always been very artistic that way. My brain's always been music, art, all that stuff. It's right brained or whatever. But it is kind of interesting because to do stuff like that on the states of mind, I always found that my best rhymes came out when I was like drunk, which sounds weird, but like, or even kind of a little buzzed, especially freestyling. For some reason, like, and my friends can say that, like, it's when I'm like drunk and they get me going. We get like, me and Billy used to get really into it where we'd be like dissing each other or joking around or whatever just for fun. And under the different states of consciousness, your brain works differently and it pulls different things out from the ether. And like, I think alcohol is not a great thing. I think it's like a depressant, but it's interesting.
It's the number one.
Yeah, it's terrible. And and we push it so much in this country that no wonder why there's so many people drinking themselves to death, because it's like our number one priority, like get alcohol out more and put it in more stores. We want Canadians drunk and lethargic and high on weed. And I think even though I partake in it, I think it's part of that, like dumbing
it's
down.
Yeah. It's Soma.
Yeah.
It's Brave New World. It's Soma.
It's so crazy, man. And then using that to like, try to like, battle your own shit, but you can grab things out from even that. And I found it interesting that like even Elizabeth April, she kind of said like, you know, you can take something like a downer or whatever, like alcohol, and kind of bless it and like thank you for this or whatever, and then make it uplifting. Yep. Because I'm a happy, yep, fun drunk usually, but I've seen people that have turned into like literally the nicest people, and they turn into demons where they're like, mm-hmm, it's not the same person.
But and that's the thing with this too, right? Because it's borderline. It's either it's a spiritual ceremony or it's borderline witchcraft. Like exactly what it is, right? You do a gratitude over top of your thing. You put out an intention. Like, yeah, if you look in some of the old witchcraft books, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And even one of these sound therapies they gave us was called healing the inner child. And I just happened to be in a witch bookstore one day, and I looked around. And I was like, what's in here? And it's like a book of spells. It says, oh, the inner child, healing the inner child. I'm like, that's witchery. I said, what the fuck is this? So like, this is literally like what's in my program.
Yeah, but
like,
they're doing
gratitudes, and we're talking about spirits and ancestors. It's all the same.
I don't necessarily think witches were bad. I think that people saw the people healing people with like hermeticism and these like ancient techniques that the religious folk, especially at that time, freaked out. And that's why I'm saying I'm not like, and that there is, there's a lot of people like, there's people like Brandon Crowell does this where he doesn't like the new age stuff and the occult or any of that stuff and thinks it's all witchcraft and dangerous and God would not like that. No, no, bad. Don't do that.
It's Kabbalism. Yeah. Pretty much Kabbalism.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But the thing is too, like, I don't necessarily see it as a terrible thing. You know what I mean? I think it's a way of calling out to the ether. And if you're able to get something that is positive, obviously a lot of times I used to use the Ouija board. Most times we were talking something that we probably didn't know what it was, or God knows what was coming through telling us it was like Harold Houdini or one of our grandfathers or whatever it might be. Right. But I don't necessarily, I think you can use those type of practices, like chaos magic and some of those, and more right hand path magic, to do things that are good and to not invoke karma or bad, intention.
You know, 100% you could.
Because religion is the same, in my idea, it's the same thing as religion, where it's like, you're not incredibly sure like that this is a real thing. No one can tell me that they just believe it. They've seen Jesus and all these stuff. You can't, like, unless I've seen it and I've had proof of it. A lot of people, like, I've seen weird shit and they think I'm crazy, right? Because I've seen shadow people and stuff. But it's the same idea of, like, putting faith into something that you're not entirely sure even exists.
Well, and that's everything. Everything just at the end of the day becomes a very big leap of faith too. Even when it comes down to this drug, right? Like or even these practices, right? There's a way to do it, and even using like these institutions that they utilize them at, right? Like you're very much correct when you did like some sort of psychedelic or whatever that you've done in the past, and you've kind of been a better writer, a better songwriter. It's very much the same with this stuff. The problem is like whatever happened to me up there still hasn't shut off.
So, right?
So that's the danger.
You're like, saying I'm fractals receiving. And stuff. And
no, I'm not getting fractals. I would describe them as what you would call intuitions, right? Like it's just like, if I think something's like up, or it's almost like game theory, right? Like 5D chess. Like if I were to think, okay, this is what the next move would be if I were playing, that's
interesting.
Normally,
yeah.
What might happen?
Like you're still connected. There's weird times. I was doing mushrooms a lot. It would be like days after, and especially in the summer, I would look at the grass and see the same sort of like almost. It was weird. And I was like, no, that's just my eyes playing tricks on me or something like that. Like, I don't know. I just would explain it away or try to, because it would be sometimes like 2 weeks later and I would still see like the grass would look kind of the same as it did when I was on mushrooms.
Go look on page 19 of that document, right? It's all about that intuition. It says even in there, like it's going to keep coming more and more and more and more and more and more rapidly, right? It's just sometimes it shuts off. Like whatever happened up there, it hasn't shut off for me.
We could cover Project Gateway at some point, because that would be wild if you want to get into it. But it is like, it's kind of crazy how, you know, they've always wanted to use these things and drugs and test them and just to see what happens to people. And now they're like, it's always been like this. I feel like they've been doing this for a long time. So the 60s, especially, of like getting everyone on acid.
You know, that Book of Wisdom that's getting promoted all over Facebook right now. Like I ended up getting it and I looked through it and I was like, oh, this is exactly Project Gateway. It explains a lot of this stuff. So like they're all hand in hand. Like it's all new age, just getting pumped out in front of everybody. It's just weird how it's coming out, right? Like, especially as a treatment, like for me, like it felt good. Like I felt great. Like my PTSD is completely gone, but now it's just like, there's bigger problems and I'm starting. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like almost to the line where things are conspiracy theories, but like who's Alex Jones jars like empty right now? Nobody's.
Yeah, I know. Right? That's why it's led you down this rabbit hole, I'm sure. And that's why it's funny. Wow. There is a ladybug right on my light. You can't even see it, but she's there.
I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Yep.
That's very weird. Hello, ladybug.
It's a good luck charm. Some would say that's a good luck charm.
Yeah, I know. Some would say. But like it is, because I've been down this rabbit hole a long time, especially with alien stuff. That's like where I first really got interested in this stuff at like 16, 17. So it is pretty crazy You know, and I've come this whole way. That's why I've always been like, you know, I've never bought into to the religion stuff. I do believe in like whatever God, I hope there is a benevolent God that, it, you know, when you look around the world, you do see it within people and within nature and stuff like that. That I'm like, someone really intelligent created this, whatever it is, even if it is a simulation. And that's why I've always been that person that questions everything and been like, I don't even know. After all this research, and I've been doing this since I was at least like 16, 17, of like looking into stuff and conspiracies and aliens and occult magic and all that stuff, I still don't know. That's why I don't like the people that are so sure. Because there's a lot of people that are like, I know I'm right. I'm not saying you are one of them. I've talked to people that are like this on the show. They're like, I'm really sure. Like, this is what, and I'm like, are you though? How can you be that so sure?
I like to look at all of those texts like individually, right? As cheat codes, right? Like from the Bible all the way to like Mesopotamian texts, right? Because there's truth in everything. It's just that it's scattered truth. So you have to put it together for yourself, right? And because they're not going to tell you nothing. No. We all know this. That's how government works today. Like it's all the same.
But we just worship government. You've been diving down, and I think we're going to eventually get to it. And I'd like to structure it the way that you sent it to me. But you've been going down a pretty deep rabbit hole, especially recently. And we're eventually going to be talking about this stuff. Like, this is where we're introducing Troy maybe into the show as a recurring guest to kind of really sink our feet into this stuff, because it's pretty wild. And the, going back to the Nephilim and then the reptilian connection and some of these lower astral beings and history, it'll be interesting for people to hear and see.
I certainly hope I'm wrong. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because it's wild. And I do, and I've, you know, eventually we're going to be covering all that stuff anyway, and the Nephilim and stuff like that. So it's always interesting, right? Because, like, there's people like me and you that have researched a lot of this stuff and looked into a lot of different things, and there's tons of people doing that. And I'll always love my co-host, Billy, because he does not look really much at anything. He's working all the time. He's busy. He's a busy guy, right?
But shoot from the hip kind of guy.
Yeah, he's just like, well, whatever. And that's why it's funny when he shows up the show, because he doesn't know what – I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll tell him what we're doing. Like, I were doing Vlad the Impaler. He's like, okay. And then he doesn't look into it. He doesn't care. So it's interesting when talking about stuff like the Nephilim and things to people that – are not really aware of some of those topics. And that's why I try to do it with even the show of like, even though like people are going like advanced knowledge on some shows, I want to break down like all the surface level stuff, at least of conspiracy world, before we start going down even deeper. That's why like I wait till I'll do the Anunnaki, then the Nephilim, and then do these, and then eventually bring everything together, so to speak, right?
Just remember, you got to use the Bible. If you're going with the Nephilim, you have to use the Bible as a source of law.
I know.
It's in the Genesis story, right?
Yeah, that's why. So, well, I would look into this. I do think that there is truth within these books, as I said, in all of them.
There is. And like you said, cheat codes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for those who can see.
So, and I think there's a ways to read between the lines of all this stuff. And there'll be interesting conversation. It is pretty wild. Is there anything else that you remember, at least in that DMT realm, that stuck out to you that was like, just so people understand what it's like to be in that environment, you could say, I guess?
It's very much, if I could describe it, like I see things in like purples and greens. So like my vision's just like whatever those colors would probably be when your eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. And, so I'd just sit there and everything would start moving. And once it really would take over, everything would almost be like Inception, but with like,
weird.
Greens. Yeah. Like, but just moving, but it looked familiar. Like it looked like Mayan, but it wasn't, but everything would move very Inception like as the circle would spin.
Yeah, things are breaking. That's crazy. Because Jeremy said that when he did it, it was like his hands turned cartoon and shit. And he did it out of a water pipe, which sounds intense. Because he said it was like sucking in glass. And then it's like he started seeing himself change. And I've heard that for a lot of people. And then the second time you do it, if you do too much, you don't want to do it again, at least for a long time. So if you're able to do little increments, right? And that's what I think they're probably using some of these soldiers, veterans, whatever, to do that, people to experiment on and have them just do a little bit and then maybe break through and then come back and break through again. And
well, when I had tried it, like I was using it out of the carts, right? Just that those little carts you get at the stores, right? Like I said, like they're everywhere. Like that's why I said, like, if people are using it, just beware what you're doing.
Yeah. Because have you broke through, you think? That's when you start seeing entities.
I absolutely have. I broke through at Dimensions. Like that was it. I had an ego death on mushrooms first.
Yeah.
Like 6 grams. And then when I went up to Dimensions, I with weed had a deeper breakthrough than I had had with the Monster.
That's so crazy. Monster X Champs.
And that's when I started seeing stuff. And since then, it's just kind of like, I haven't gone back in since. Mm-hmm. Like I'm too scared to.
Yeah,
I don't know what could happen, right?
So Jeremy said, he said that he was going to do it another time. His hand was like shaking to light the pipe, and he said, I don't think he could do it. I'm pretty sure he said he couldn't do it because he's going to do it again. And it's like,
well, that's the thing, right? If these intuitions are in fact true, coming in from entities or what have you, like whatever is in this research that's being done,
yeah.
Like I don't want to know if I pissed something off. Is it the demon realm or is it the Nephilim, right? Like we can go even down that realm, like because the Nephilim never died, right?
Yeah.
They talk about they want to take hosts, they're demons, like whatever you want. Like,
see, and that's what I see. That's what I see with the reptilian shit. Because it all blends into one thing of like the idea that the royal family and some of these people or whatever that are in charge never really die, and they're able to supposedly transfer their consciousness into the next bloodline. That's why they're like so focused on bloodlines and stuff like that, is because they're able to just keep reincarnating that same essence or spirit into this realm over and over again. So it doesn't matter who you vote for, everybody. It doesn't matter what we do unless we rise up. That's like literally the only way out. There's so many people who are like, well, I'm going to vote harder and get out of this. And it's like, no. It is about us collectively, I believe, coming together, and I think it's going to get real bad before that happens.
Well, you know, I don't think this election is going to happen. I think either he's going to get in, but he'll never see a presidency. They'll either go in a third world war and say, oh, emergency serve act, we can't, no wartime president's ever left, yada, yada, yada. Biden dies in office and Kamala gets in, right? Like, that's the only way that they could win legally.
It'll be interesting because this will be out just after they comes out. There are some people that speculate, like, I do like Adam Green. I listen to him sometimes, so I'm able to catch some of his shows. And he thinks that they'll put, because Trump is the messiah to the non-goy messiah or whatever, this is like in their words.
Well, he could build the third temple, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I know. So like there is weird shit going on with that, but they Adam Green thinks is going to calm down. I don't know what I think yet. It's going to calm down for a little bit, but then he'll be maybe one of these guys to stop the war. They were about to go into World War III, but he stopped it, you know what I mean? And he's praised. And then because if Brandon Kroll is right, maybe he is, maybe he isn't.
Now we're in Book of Revelation.
Yeah, right. Yep. He's the Antichrist and all this shit. I don't know. I don't trust that. I think that he's going to get in. Things might calm for a little bit, or there's like full on like civil war. That's two roads.
There's something bigger happening, man. Like everything's crumbling, right? And it's like I said, like and where the trauma started for me, it's funny to actually watch it fall now. Like the world of pedophiles is, it's sad to see the like why things happen to like kids and people like me that happens, is because the pedophiles are running the world, and now yeah. And now it's becoming true, right? All the human trafficking that we go through, like you know,
people in sea containers, like that's crazy. That's like having a lot. Next to P. Diddy's Island was a big shipping yard of crates.
Well, and that's the thing with what we used to do, right? Like in military firefighters, like I'll be the first to tell you, like we don't have a lot of fires. Like if you saw fires in a career, you're probably volunteer on your time off, right? Like that's how a lot of it worked. We didn't see a lot, but when it did happen, it was pretty bad. We get a lot of medicals and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the MPs, right, like they're the same, like, oh yeah, what are you going to do? Go pull a cat out of a tree or pull someone over, right? Like when they get up to a certain point, like I had a buddy of mine who actually just left there. He was on PTSD for quite some time because he worked at SIU and all he did was sex crimes. Right. Yeah. So like, so
when you're sitting there,
well, and that's the thing, right? Like, because I called him one day when I was doing an investigation for a fire, and I was documenting like everything you look at, every picture you take or find, you have to document it and write a narrative. Yeah. And I just realized, shit, I should call him. And I called him and I said, are you still there? He's like, no, I got out. I was like, oh, thank God. Because I realized that's exactly what he had. So he had to look at evil documented for the chain of custody.
Yeah, right? That's a crazy way to put it. Cause that is actually technically true. A lot of, like, yep. Say cops, the RCMP, even though they really don't do their job, they have the power to arrest the treasonous criminals that are in our government, but they choose not to, right? So everyone's been gotten to and corrupted and all that stuff, right? But to see that stuff all the time, if it'd be like a cop in Toronto, God knows what, and then my uncle was a lieutenant for like a while, and I think it fucked him up, right? Like, you know, so...
Yep.
And then you'd abuse others in some regard sometimes, you know what I mean? Because now you're like, your brain's broken.
Well, you're expected to be normal, right? And yeah. And the problem is, like, they always tell you to adapt and overcome, but you look at society and progression hasn't taken one step forward.
Well, I know. Right? Look what they do for the veterans that they sent off to fucking Afghanistan or God knows where, right? To like for their bullshit lies and forever wars and everything, right? And then they come back and then there's like treated like shit, thrown on the streets and told like, you know, suck it up or whatever. And they don't even know how to come back from being in that environment. And then they end up murdering their wives. Shit like that happens all the time because they're not given the help that they need.
Well, and that just goes right back to what happened to me, right? 20 years of 20 doctors and nothing got changed, right? And I'll tell you, I'll be flat out, 2 suicide attempts that I got luckily saved from.
Yeah.
And this is just how it is. They don't care. Like, you have to fight for your career. That's the other thing nobody tells you about with the military. Every guys are too afraid to go to the MIR to seek help because they know it's a career killer. Oh, you can't have a weapon, so you're not deployable. Ergo, you're not employable. And that's how they treat veterans. So guys are dealing with all of this nonsense, going home, drinking themselves to death, or blowing their brains out because they're not being heard. They're just giving up. Here's your medications. Here you go. And you know, if you have any other problems, here's MAID for you.
That's right? The craziest shit, man. Yeah, they just did this to someone who was injured from the shoddy shot, clot shot. They fucking literally said, here, we can sign, if you got an adverse reaction, oh, you can sign up for MAID. That's the craziest shit that we're in. Yep. People, we're in the dystopian nightmare now. We're in 1984 now. Not like, oh, it's going to come in the future. We're in it now. Your government hurts you with the drug that they coerced you into getting, and then they're like, just kill yourself. They did that with that chick. She was crippled by it in a wheelchair, and they offered her MAID. That is the craziest shit. They don't offer you like something to like help you or, you know, finance you with all the money that we've sent all over the world for fucking gender studies and all sorts of shit. And then the people that are getting injured by their drugs, they're not liable, especially the government who enforced that. And it was all of them. This is why I hate this shit, because there was all of them. All of them. Nobody helped the convoy. Nobody did anything, man. It's just all of the people, like all of them, man. Doesn't matter what
side you wonder, and you wonder why we've lost our faith, right? Like I have 100% lost my faith in everything else because no one's helping. Like I've seen it for what it is. They don't care about anyone, and not just us, right? Like
I hope for better.
What do you do? What do we do? Like, yeah. And
it's crazy. I've known this.
Start waking up.
It's not gonna.
We're not gonna get there.
No. It's crazy. It's so nuts, man. Because I've been like I didn't vote for most of my life because I'm like there was no one. I don't believe any of you. You're all liars and thieves and bullshit and con artists. And now, you know, I was hoping for better in my 20s and stuff like that. But now I'm like, it's just the same thing. You guys there's never going to be someone in a position of power. Like, and people are all talking about Trump a lot right now and all that stuff. And in Canada, it's Pierre. All Pierre is going to save us. The guy was in politics for 20 years and did not a thing. He actually benefited the rich by cutting their taxes and did a bunch of other shady ass shit. Cause that's who he is. These people have been, they've been in government like his entire life. And he's all of a sudden going to change everything. And he's going to take back all the horrible things that he already did. Right. And pandering to everybody that's not Canadian is so crazy.
It's like you said earlier, and it was the Carlin quote, right? Like, it's all the club and you ain't in it, right? It's all everybody's playing the same game, right? And that's why, like, what I think these intuitions I've been getting are literally, I'm just playing 5D chess. Like, how would I make the next move? Oh, yep, sure, shit, this is exactly what's happening, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
and it's and the problem is it's so blatant now that it's obvious. Like, they're not even hiding anything anymore. It's because they don't care. And
yeah, I thought that too. I've said that like what comes to the point where they're like, well, we already have enough stuff where we can, if we do something, we can go underground. They have like sonic weapons. They have, I showed the one, the active denial system where it can essentially just make you go like, it feels like your skin's burning. But it's just like
microwave weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And they'll like just disperse crowds. Like I was like, how much do they have to oppress us and how far would it get? And that's why I always had this belief in like, if it gets bad enough, the angelic aliens or whatever they are will come help us. But I'm not sure of that because like we've gone through very horrible things throughout history. You could name numerous things, but even the Bolshevik Revolution, nobody was there to save them. They like literally millions upon millions of people died, you know, when the Communist Party was taking over Russia and shit. And nobody even knows about that shit.
Nobody knows anything about that side of the world at all. Like, nobody knows because of the, like, look at the infrastructure that's there, right? Like, big monolithic buildings, like people with horse and carriages build, can be a brave. Like,
oh, the Tartaria thing's weird. Some people believe in it. And some
not
people,
just Tartaria, just any type of building in Eastern Europe. Some of them, like there's a, I forget what the YouTube, I'll send it to you, but there's a guy who did a big good thing on it where they're digging up the ground and it's showing like all like 9 meters worth of buildings, like why the windows are so close. And it was like a big mud flood and these buildings withstood it. And they've been around forever, right? Like even Parliament, like when Parliament was built, or like that was built like when, I don't even remember, was it 1700s?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's crazy. Like, we've had
stuff. Like with what we had, like come on. I know. Like it's there's a lot of things that are suspect, and there's a lot of things that are like far out to lunch too, right? Like, it's all about discernment.
Well, I think they're trying to destroy history, especially, and I think as a communist tactic of like destroy our history and destroy our like monuments and all that stuff. And then I'll say this again: the craziest shit is that we'll tear down like monuments of John A. McDonald and all sorts of different people that like it's just history. But you'll put up a statue of George Floyd and be like, "Sweet, that criminal that held a gun to a pregnant lady's stomach—that's he deserves a statue."
That was a crazy time, and it's just one thing after another rolling over and rolling over.
I know, like, it's order out of chaos, and I believe they use this very well. And look at all the stuff that's happening with North Carolina and like the hurricanes and Maui, and nobody even talks about it because it's on to the next thing. Maui literally got hit by a direct energy weapon. That's a fucking fact. There's so much proof of it.
I never even saw that one.
Really? The one with Hawaii? Or man, it's crazy, dude.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii. Where like Oprah didn't do something for them. There's something tied to that.
There was all these fires that happened a couple years ago. Like, was it a year ago?
Maybe I wasn't following it. I don't follow a lot of the news anymore, yeah, honestly.
That's
man.
Probably a good
it's
idea.
It's just too nuts.
It's crazy. And they had like burnt cars and stuff like that, but looked like they were melted into the ground. Like, and there was like umbrellas that were still there that didn't even get touched, trees that didn't get touched, but everything around them was.
Oh, that's that blue. Yes, I do remember. If something about blue.
People were doing blue roofs and shit. Like, and all blue the celebrities roofs, yeah. Like places weren't touched. And now, guess what? They want to buy it out. I think it turned into a 15-minute city. And it's, like, it's so crazy. I imagine what's going to happen in North Carolina and what they're going to do to like that town. You know?
I don't know what's on my bingo card, man. Like, it's just anything goes right now. Like if aliens did land on the White House lawn, who would be surprised?
If they were bad, I just want to see it in my lifetime. I am like, give me like 20 more years and then we can do that.
Yeah. So just affirm that I was correct. I'm like, okay, I can live with this. Like, honestly, because that's how crazy it is. Because I don't want to believe that our own kind is doing this. Like, and when I say own kind, humanity, that we're doing it to each other. Like, it's so insidious. Like, what would the point be? What would the overall point be for a global dominance? Like, it's just like you wake up the next day and you're like, what level am I on? It just, everything certainly does feel like a simulation. And that's why like that everything happening right now, combined with what I went through with dimensions, like you want to talk about a time warp, right? Like, I'm just playing 5D chess with the clock is how I feel like my life is going.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting how you've kind of taken a trip down this rabbit hole. And that's what we've said on the show too, is the idea of like, these people can't be human. You know, if they're doing the type of things that they're doing and not having any regard, like they have no empathy installed. Like there's not there. So that's why I try to like tell people, like, it doesn't matter, man. Like until people collectivize and realize life is a team sport. They've always, everyone's fell victim to this. Want to keep everyone, make everyone an individual. You're an individual. You got to be on your own and stuff like that. But realistically, we do need each other. And they've like done this in such a smart way. It's very intelligent to like divide and conquer people, but they do it in almost every single thing. And I fall victim to it. Yeah. I don't like the people that are, I think, invading my country. And that's okay for me to say, because I think it is wrong, because you have blend too many people with too many different ideologies or religious backgrounds, and you're told to hate them from the other side of the world with their propaganda machine. It's not going to work. You need to like bleed into the system if that's the way we're going to do it. But at the end of the day, right, we're all tax slaves anyway.
Well, and the thing is too, right, like I kind of believe, like, in the positions I've been, like, boots on the ground with just the people, and that's up including like even with the Arctic, right? Like,
yeah,
we need to, I used to preach like it takes a village, like even when I would be teaching the communities and stuff. And it's true because, you know, they would come to me with their problems and then I would pass certain things I could up and certain things that wouldn't. And then, you know, by the sort of bureaucracy, like nothing could happen in a quick enough time to make a resolution, that, you know, I'm the blame, even though I'm not the one that made the decision. Like I'm the one where they've entrusted me to pass the message along. Right. And for so long will they have the trust in you. And that was the biggest part about even being up north, was like, because of reconciliation, how bad it is even up there with like the residential school system, like that didn't end like not long ago, that one. And those people are still very much traumatized. So like earning the trust up there, but
yeah,
you know, everyone who's going up there is making like, you know, six figures plus. And there's these people who are poor, like, what are we doing? Like, and that's a capital city of 8,000 people, right? And there's just all this money going in for the employees to live there, but there's no infrastructure. Like it's a capital city, and I don't mean to sound bad, but it doesn't look very nice to the eye. Like,
well, that's all of Canada.
More could be done.
Yeah. And it's and like, we've talked about this, right? Where we'll get into this at some point, I'm sure, and stuff like that. But this idea that every white person or every Christian or Catholic is to blame for what happened in the residential schools is wrong. And I want people to understand, it was the Vatican, man. It was the people, yeah, these sadistic, right, evil people. And factually, at least in the Camp Loops one, there was not one bone found. Abuse is probably taking place to some extent. But the thing is, they need this for a division tactic. They need to tell the population, you should hate your own national identity, you should hate your history, because this land is built on genocide. And I do think that is what the liberals and all the governments are doing, because that's how a communistic party does come in. And bad things have happened, right? It's the past, but you have to learn from history and try to reconcile what has happened in some ways. And the governments give millions of dollars to the reserves, but the chiefs do what politicians do, and they cipher it off the top and then go into their God knows what ventures, right?
Well, and you know, I think a big thing people should really look into is they should remember, like, in even pre-colonialism, like pre-residential schools, like there were people here that lived amongst them and lived in harmony, like the French settlers. Yeah. Like we fought alongside, like, all of this area. People forget, like, with the Huron Wars and everything, like we fought against the British, the French settlers that were here. And
that's where I think my dad's side of the family comes from, because we've been here since the 1600s, and we're empire loyalists. I think we landed in Quebec, which is crazy because we make fun of Quebec all the time.
It'd be funny. I think I was like 30% French or something when I did it. Like I that fell victim to being an idiot and doing the 23andMe. Like I got all that stuff too. Right? I'm also 6% astronaut. Could you imagine that, right?
Yeah, everybody is.
Yep, imagine that. But that'd be something to look into, because there's something there that we did live in harmony with each other at one point, and it wasn't race based. It was policy based.
That's
and
what I'm interested I would highly in getting encourage, into. On
well, I'd highly episode. Encourage. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is a topic that I definitely want us to dive into on its own. Just that one topic is the idea that there was people of European descent, white people, whatever you want to call them, that were already existing here with the indigenous, which is fascinating, because it's quite possible, because there is stories of things like the Wagas and even more about the tall white people that had, you know, this might be the Nephilim shit, but had orange hair. But like, there's stories of that. There was already people here. There's Vikings that came fucking way beforehand. And there's no stories written down of this. They don't want this history told.
Well, you know, I would highly advise your viewers or listeners to look into the Anishinaabe tribe, the Seven Fires prophecy, right? Because it talks about how reconciliation could become a thing, right? And it talks about, you know, there's a white man that comes with the face of death, and a one that comes with the face of friendship, you know, and then that tracks into like the prophecy of what happened with the colonialism down to there will come a time where there's a crossroads where reconciliation will be possible, but it's up to them to be the new people of the seventh fire or the eighth fire. It's just something to really look into, because they themselves even offer that guide to reconciliation for us. Whereas in the Bible, like we have the redemption story. So like they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend people just look into that, because that's Canadian history that nobody talks about.
100%. And I would do a whole episode just about that prophecy too. Cause like, I'm not like, it's interesting just cause my point of view on some of the colonization stuff. And I like, you know, I do think that a lot of that stuff has been now used to radicalize people and like, this is stolen land. It doesn't deserve to exist, but the Canadian people are a people. They've made themselves into a people, and they're using these tactics to destroy the nation from within. If you study communism, it's very simple layout of like getting the nation to hate themselves, hate their national identity, erode everything, bring too many people in, divide all those people. And then you can like essentially break out a violent revolution that, guess what, all the people do consolidate all the power. And there's history on both sides. Like I've said on the show, I'm reading a book called Not Stolen. I think it's fascinating. It's interesting. It's essentially not this woke version of what has happened throughout our history, especially with some of the agreements and settlements that were made with the indigenous, how there was sometimes even friendships and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that this has been overplayed as this violent extermination of people when it wasn't. It was a lot of sickness that was either done by accident or on purpose, that took out large portions of the population. There's a guy, some people like him, I know some people that don't, but there's a guy named Robert Zephyr. I think that's how you say his name. He's like an anthropologist kind of guy, does little short things on YouTube and actually talks about things like the Vril and some of the things the Nazis believed in and the ancient Aryan race, and plays in actually more of a weird, but a pop, like a plays into like a more positive aspect of this ancient knowledge. And then you see the swastika on indigenous tribes, their clothings, on their moccasins, all sorts of stuff, right? So it is interesting. And that symbol was supposed to be given to them by like the Wagas and these like race of white Aryan people. And I didn't know a lot of this stuff until I started looking into it. And everyone wants to think they know everything about history, but there's so many layers. And there was good people fighting against and fighting with the indigenous. The indigenous did wrong things too. They were also, they almost genocide each other, the Iroquois and the Mohawks. So like have to lay some of that stuff out when they're talking about, you know what I mean?
Well, foundation's always a good thing, but you know, I think would be awesome is like get an elder if you can on here to like talk about some of this stuff, right? Because who else would be able to tell you best if this was happening now in society than the people that it happened to before, right? Like, if they're willing to even talk to you, right?
Because I'm kind of controversial. But yeah. It's funny because I have, there's actually a guy on TikTok, and I've actually, his videos are great. I've saved two of them. And it's an indigenous dude that, it doesn't like what's going on with the government and is actually speaking out about he says the native born Canadians that have been here since the first colonization when they took over and stuff like that. And he's like, now they're being ran out and stuff like that and taken over by a new one. And he was like, and he's even said that it's not like really the people, it's the government. I've commented on stuff and he's liked all my, cause I'm like, it's the government, man. And he spoke out a lot more than I've seen anybody else. And he's an indigenous, like to the core, and saying like, yeah, we need to come together because they're going to destroy all of us. And he's very much on the side of like, hey, white people are also being replaced and extinct through this process now.
That's the thing. It like I said before, it takes a village, right? Like build the community, and you should have these discussions, have people on that could have these discussions to get them up, because that's the thing that everyone's talking about what's happening over here, right? In Hollywood and all this other shit.
Oh, yeah.
They're not talking about what's really going on, right? So these are, I think, you know, everything seems to be clickbait out there, right? But nobody's talking the truth. They're just talking someone else's truth that they edited slightly, right? Like these are discussions that aren't happening. Like have the right people on, build that reconciliation. That's the only way that we really could have reconciliation is to have the discussion first.
Yeah. And that's why I am interested in it. Cause I've said, I grew up with a couple of friends that were indigenous and stuff like that. I've went to the reserves a bunch of times. And it's just it's the idea that I see some sadness within in those areas of what it could be. You know, there's a lot of, I just don't think a lot of help being done. And that's why I talk about the chiefs, that people are like, we've given them millions of dollars or tax dollars. They don't pay taxes. And you know, they have free education, all these things that would be positive. Right. I do think some of it is a victim status, a little bit of like, they are now fed into this system, almost a communist system, where this happens in America too, where the reserves are dependent on the government's money to survive, to live and stuff like that. You know, and I do see both sides, but I do think that we've talked about that. I would be interested in hearing essentially the other side.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter who's doing it, right? Like at the end of the day, and even in the jobs that I've had in all aspects of government, just corruption has to be called out immediately. Like they always preach no quota silence, don't poison the well. Like these are initial things that you get when you're doing these jobs in government. And meanwhile, like they're blading you, they're gossiping about you behind your back, or they're, you know, not doing the right thing.
Most politicians are treasonous at this point.
And look how it is. As an underling, are you going to be the underling go, geez, is my job really worth going against somebody who has power? Like, that's the problem people find themselves in. They're the guards in the concentration camp. Like, it's unfortunate, but that's how everybody is. Like, they have good intentions. They'll hide behind the fence and say, you know, I believe you, but they're not going to step on that other side of the line to stand up for what is truly right, right?
And yeah, that's it, they've it done this to the whole society. They do this to whole societies of people now, where it's like, especially now, where that people are afraid to speak the truth, where we've sold ourselves this lie over and over and over again, and everywhere it is, it's everywhere. It's the media, it's social media, it's the internet. It's like, and people are feeding into it so much, especially these divide and conquer tactics. And that's why I'm like, I do believe in unity of the people. That it, like, at some point, either we all come together and it's kumbaya, but more realistically, it's going to come to a point where Canadians or Americans or people that live in those homelands, the Canadians, I also mean the indigenous, will need to band together against all the foreign invasion that's going on. I do think there's a big probability that we'll go into a civil war at some point, or there'll be some, because there's people getting hurt all the time on the roads, assaults, because you bring in too many people from a country where it's okay to do stuff like that.
We're at the boiling point, and that's the big thing. And you see that in all societies, right? Like, you hit a certain level of prosperity and then things just fall apart.
It's like,
and
that's kind of where we're seeing the downfall of an empire.
That's right. And it's all on the guise of good intentions. And that's the problem, right? Like, how can you say no to some of these
good intentions?
That's right.
Right.
At the end of the day, that road still leads to Rome, right? Yeah. It all goes to the same surface.
Everything got really gay in Rome, and then things started falling apart. It is crazy. We had a really good conversation. We've talked about things, you know, that we'll maybe get into and stuff like that. Like, at some point, I would love to film a doc and maybe go to some of the reserves and talk to an elder or someone that can, you know, so we can have an honest conversation. Because you'll find it more often than not that probably what it will be. I think a lot of the people, like I said this before, the Every Child's Matter thing, whoever made those shirts is making a lot of money. And it's a grift. And that's exactly...
Everything's a fucking grift. You're absolutely right.
And that's sad, right? Because not really. I doubt it's helping anyone, like BLM. Same thing, right? These are all being used against us. I truly believe that. It's a Marxist or elite. Read Cultural Marxist. Just read and then what their ideologies are. And it's like a reflection of what we see now. But I'm excited to get into some of the stuff that we've talked about and maybe starting to lay foundations, even if it's a once a month kind of thing, where we're able to break some of these rabbit holes down, because I'm sure it'd be easy to do 2 hours and talk about one encompassing subject, like some of the ancient text and what you believe is going on in the past and stuff.
Oh, but it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a couple Ancient Aliens episodes for sure.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I like that shit. That's like one of my favorites. Yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed this. It was fun because, like, I'm never able to do this, right? Like, usually we stick to, like, one topic, you know, and we're always having fun, right, and joking. But it's more serious topic sometimes I enjoy more because I'm able to get these point of view across to people that maybe don't normally think about it or know that I think some of these things. That, like, yeah, like, I still want to fight for my people, but I think there is a mass amount of division going on. And having these open conversations, especially just to start going down this rabbit hole and to kind of introduce you, because it seems like you do have a lot to say and you've been looking into stuff pretty deeply. He's been sending me stuff, so I've seen what he's digging into, and it's interesting. It's stuff that I've looked at before in my life, but now you've laid it out in a way where it might make it pretty easy to consume for people.
There's a couple puzzle pieces that we're missing, and I think it all starts with the one that I just told everybody to get informed with. So Seven Fires, guys, have a look at that. And Tom, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it, man.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we'll have to maybe cover that next time. But yeah, this is a good talk. Everybody support the show. 5-star rate and reviews, all that good stuff. You can buy merch at the site. You can also support the show on Patreon. We have a lot of different stuff coming. There's a lot of old episodes that are now being released to Patreon. Only be exclusively there. It was my decision. We're going down a different hole. So if anyone wants to hear drunken retardedness, just go listen to some of the early episodes of the show. But yeah, everybody stay strange out there.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.